Well, we need the Holy Spirit, church. Amen? Amen, absolutely we do. You know, Carlene and I will be married 36 years this September. And, yeah, she put up with me for a while. And for you that do not know who Carlene is, she's the cute little blonde that was doing the children's sermon a while ago. You be sure to tell her I said that. And we're actually closer to age than we look. I mean, I'm a lot younger than I look, and she's a little bit older than she looks. But, you know, we've been married, we'll be married 36 years. And there's something I've learned through the years. It was easier for her, but I've learned the joy of submitting to my wife. It's been a joy, to be honest. And I know that God has called me to be the spiritual leader of our home, and here's what that means for me. It means that on rare occasions, the spiritual buck stops somewhere. And it stops with me. Other than that, we're co-heirs in Christ Jesus. You know, I bless her and how God's gifted her and called her to serve. She blesses me. And it's been a joy. You know, when we go somewhere, I let her drive. And that's kind of odd, I think, for maybe some men to allow your wife to drive. But she's okay at it, too. You know, I'm... For the first 4 or 5 years, I had to tell her, now this is really the shortest route to where we need to go. And so, but, you know, I just let her drive. I just enjoy submitting to her, and she submits to me as well. Part of that submission thing around our house, we share in the tasks, the chores that goes on at our house. I don't mind washing dishes. We've got a dishwasher, so it's easy. I don't mind sweeping, vacuuming. Dusting, I do that. She does a lot of the other cleaning. And when we take care of the yard outside, she runs the mower, I run the weed eater and the blower, and we just tag team and get it done. You know, there's something I don't do much of around our house, and that's laundry. Because I've got a terrible past, a terrible history in regard to laundry. You know, when I was single, I would go to the laundromat, and I could not figure out why people would want to put their clothes in 3 or 4 different machines. I mean, I figured, well, okay, if I want to save $1.50, I'll just cram all of my stuff in one machine and save some money. And that was my concept of laundry when we got married. I carried that into our relationship. Well, that didn't fly well with Carly. You know, I ruined several articles of clothing. And finally she said, Billy, enough. Keep your hands off the laundry. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Well, 3 or 4 years after that, she kind of threw me a bone, and she would let me do laundry. But what she would do is she would sort everything, and she would put instructions on each pile of clothing to tell me what to do. You know, wash this in warm water. Wash these in cold water. Don't dry, hang up. And as long as I had instructions, I could do okay. Well, there was one particular day that she was working, and I had just gotten off from the fire station, and I was going to do laundry that day. And I had a pair of ski gloves that weren't really ski gloves anymore because we weren't going skiing, but they were just gloves to keep my hands warm. And I had worked on something and had gotten them dirty, and I decided I was going to wash them that day. And so Carlene said, look, if you're ever in doubt, just read the tag, read the instructions. It'll tell you what to do. And so I read the tag on the gloves, and I don't remember exactly what it said. It was something like, wash in warm water, gentle cycle, tumble dry, low heat, something like that. I don't really remember what it said, but the next two words I do remember. And those two words were wash separately. And so I looked at that and thought, why in the world? Yeah. Why in the world would I want to wash these gloves separately? I said, well, can't go wrong following instructions. So I put in a load of towels and I dropped in one glove in the machine. Wash that glove, put in another load of clothes, and wash the other glove, and I washed them separately. And they came out clean. And, you know, I was so proud of myself. And I don't know, sometimes us men, when we do something around the house, we want our wives to know. And so, man, she's coming home, and I've got my head held high, and my chest is stuck out, and I'm so proud of myself. And I said, you never guess what I did today. And she said, what? She said, I washed my gloves. And in this look of terror, you know, it's come over her. And she said, well, what did you do? And I said, well, I washed them separately. towels and a glove and other, and she just busted out laughing. And you know, that I've been the butt of a number of laundry jokes through the years because of that. I'm really smarter than that. I don't know. It's just, but you know, I misinterpreted what was written that particular day, and I got away with it. When you do laundry, you can't always misinterpret things like that and get away with it. But I did. And this may be a terrible segue into the sermon, but you know, in regard to what's written in God's Word, we've got to be able to interpret what it says. We've got to know what it says. And there's probably no more critical time in our culture, in our nation, that we need to know how God feels about certain things. And I'm going to share an example, a couple of examples. And I'm going to talk about redefining marriage for just 4 or 5 minutes and talking about lifestyle choices. So as I do that, if you're a parent here this morning, you have a child with younger ears, and you may want to perhaps go get a drink of water with your child, maybe take a restroom break. I just want to give you that opportunity, because I'm going to speak pretty frankly about those issues. So parents, if you want to take the opportunity to take your child out, you can go ahead and do that now. You know, as I said, there's probably never been a more critical time in our nation where we need to know how God feels about things. And two things, homosexuality and same-sex marriage, you know, culture has an opinion of that. And if we don't know what God's opinion is, if it's different than culture's opinion, then we need to know what God's opinion is on that. Now, when we start talking about this issue, because we maybe disagree with what culture thinks about these two issues, then we're labeled as people who hate and people who are fearful. Well, let me tell you something. I don't hate anybody. And I'm not afraid of people who struggle with that lifestyle. Carlene and I, were neighbors to a female couple for about 4 or 5 years. And to be honest with you, they were the best neighbors we've ever had. They were awesome, sweet ladies. And, you know, our heart broke for them. You know, we loved them. They loved us back. They knew where we stood on that issue. You know, we didn't condemn them. We loved them, but they knew where we stood. And if we go out to lunch today and see them, we will probably embrace and catch up on what's going on. I didn't hate them. Like I said, my heart broke for them. I don't think they're living God's best as far as their life goes. You know, I've got a friend, an elderly gentleman who is in his late 80s that I've been in a spiritual relationship with for about 20 years. And as far as he can remember back, he has struggled with that issue. He's a father, a husband, father, and a grandfather. He has struggled with that issue. But just like God gives me the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to rise above my struggles, which is pridefulness and being judgmental, God gives that to me. Jesus died for that so I could rise above that. I've watched God give this man the grace and the power through the Holy Spirit to rise above that struggle. It's a brutal struggle. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. You know, every reference scripture of that issue, homosexuality, is viewed negatively. It's never viewed as a positive thing. Okay? That's what scripture says about that, church, and it's imperative that we know that. Culture is speaking about it. What does the church, what does God say about that? As far as same-sex marriage, you know, God's word starts with a marriage, with a wedding. There's no ceremony there, but scripture says that you know, God made man, he made woman out of man, and he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Jesus said exactly the same thing in the Gospels. He was teaching on marriage, and he says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, he will cling to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. There's some kind of spiritual union that takes place there when a man and a woman come together, and God blesses that. I believe he does. You know, the Bible begins with a marriage and it ends with a marriage. When Jesus Christ, our groom, who's the male figure in the relationship, is married to his bride, the church, which is the female person in that relationship, at a wedding feast. So the Bible starts with a marriage, man and a woman. Jesus confirms that. And then we see that in the end of, Scripture. I think it's always been God's heart that it's been a man and a woman. I read an article this week that statistically 60% of our nation believes that it's okay for two men and two women to marry. And you know, if God's opinion contradicts culture's opinion, and I don't care if that number is 85%, church, God's opinion trumps culture's opinion every time. Now I say that in love, and if you're here this morning and you disagree with me, that's Jeff's heart. Jeff understands Scripture that way. That's kind of the position of our church. And if you struggle with that, talk to Jeff about that. You do that? He's the pastor. The buck stops with him. And if you're here this morning and you struggle with those issues, please come see us. Let's pray about that. Let's see what God's Word says about that. Let's try to walk through some of that stuff, okay? And that's just an example of how we need to know what God says about things that are going on. What is written in God's Word? Is it important? Absolutely it is. So before I get into the sermon, let's pray. God, I just thank you for this time, Lord. I just thank you for the written Word. Father, you have spoken to us through the Word. And Lord, I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit, we prayed for your presence to be manifested. And I pray this morning that you manifest yourself in such a way that things make a little more sense maybe than they have before. I just thank you, God, for giving us this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I did a quick little look at my house on Friday. Was wondering how many Bibles I had. And I quickly counted six within a one-minute period of time. And I know of a couple that are put up, some Bibles that I had that when I was younger. You know, Carlene's got five or six, and I've got 12 or 13 versions electronically that I have access to. You know, the Bible has never been more accessible than it's ever been in since it's been written. And I fear too many times that, well, most of my Bibles collect dust because I'm in a different version now. I've written in some, and sorry, Alan, I did write in my Bible, and I know that I may lose my salvation because of that. But the one I have now, I'm not writing in, so, you know, maybe the... Does he?
He's coming to the dark side.
Amen. Amen. But I wonder how many of us have that resource available to us, and we don't really take advantage of that. And something that's interesting to me, I have all these copies of Scripture. Why don't I throw them away? I kind of wonder why I don't do that. Is there something that's sacred about the written Word? Now, the Bible didn't die for me. Jesus didn't die for me. It's not the fourth person of the Trinity. But my goodness, God has spoken. God has spoken. If we want to know what He has to say, let's get into the Word. You know, He can speak audibly. When I was a young man, I heard an audible voice that I thought was the Lord, and that's only happened one time. He speaks through people, but if we want to know what God has said, He has given us His heart, and we have opportunities to grow because He's done that. Here's three things I want to look at just briefly. That maybe will encourage us if we're struggling with reading His Word. Maybe it'll encourage us to move along a little further. These are three things that the Bible says about itself. Okay, there's a question about: is the Bible legitimate? Okay, is it full of errors? And here's the first point. The first point is that it can be trusted. It can be trusted. God's Word can be trusted. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And this is what the Word says about itself. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Some translations say that it is God-inspired, that God has... inspired it all. And I believe from cover to cover, excluding the maps and the concordance, I believe it's all been inspired by God. And as I say that, there seems to be, for me, there seems to be maybe some conflict with some scriptures. So maybe some contradiction with some scriptures. You know, if you look at Jesus cleansing the temple, three of the Gospels say that he did that on his last trip to Jerusalem. When he was crucified, he cleared out the temple. In the book of John, it mentions it early on in the book. Maybe his first visit to Jerusalem. So did Jesus do it twice? Was it, you know, early in his ministry? Was it late in his ministry? Another thing that it doesn't really bug me, I just thought, well, why is it like it is? You remember the interaction Jesus had with the demon-possessed man? Jesus drove out the demons, and they went into the pigs, and they rushed down the bank, and they drowned in the lake, Lake Tiberias, I believe. Two of the Gospels say it was one man, and another Gospel said there were two men. Seems to be a little conflict there. But, you know, for me, that's really not a deal breaker for me. It's really not. And I have to, personally, I have to approach this word like all of it's inspired by God. If, let's say 98% of it is and 2%'s not, it's really above my pay grade to try to determine the 2% that's not. And I heard this wise pastor say one time, if we think the Bible is inspired in spots, then we have to be inspired to spot those spots. And you may have the ability to do that, but I don't. So it's a faith issue for me. And if there's errors in there, I would rather believe that they're not in there and trust God maybe for more than try to put limitations on what he can do. Because if there's errors, I tell you where I'm going. I'm going to the places that I don't really feel comfortable with, and, oh, that can't be right. God didn't include that in the original writings. Church, God's word can be trusted. All of it's inspired by him. Therefore, I believe it's not full of errors, and if we think that it is, and that's keeping us from reading it, I challenge you to go ahead and just dive in. Second thing about the Bible, what it says about itself, is that it is alive. It is alive. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." You know, the word of God is alive. It's alive, and it's... It penetrates, it gets beyond our flesh and our bones and our veins and our arteries and capillaries, and it goes past ligaments and tendons, and it goes to the very core of who we are on a soul level, on a spiritual level, and it does its work in a place that a CAT scan or MRI cannot detect. It does its work. It's alive. And you know, there's no other resource on the face of the planet that can make that claim. I mean, every other book that's ever been written, I know there's some great Christian books. There's some that I love to read. I may read them once or twice a year. And they're based off Scripture, so they can give us life, spiritual life. But all the rest of the resources, books, newspapers, magazines, they can't make that claim. And you know, take the newspaper, for example. And I'm not against reading the newspaper. I don't have a physical newspaper anymore. I'm a e-reader. Subscription is a little cheaper, by the way. That's why I do that. But what do we do with it after we read the newspaper? Throw it away. Well, we recycle now, but we used to throw it away. And the reason is because there's not really life in it. There's information, but there's no life. And it doesn't really change us deep like God's Word changes us. Same thing with magazines. Now, those can include some devotional that kind of stirs us, but more times than not, it becomes trash. Today's news is tomorrow's trash, basically. And I don't know about you, but I'd spend, when I read, I spend probably an hour and a half a day reading cultural news and tech news. I just need to get over this thing with cell phones. I mean, I'm just obsessed with them. And I'd love to hack into your phone. If you want to tweak your phone, you can bring it to me. I haven't done that in a while. But, you know, I spend about an hour and a half a day reading stuff, okay? And I'm just absorbing information. And I can pick up God's Word, and after 4 or 5 minutes, it just feels different. I don't know how to say it. I don't know really how to explain it. It's kind of like you're standing outside and the wind changes directions. You know, it's blowing from the south and then a cold front comes in and it's an obvious change. And it makes me feel different. I don't know how to say it other than that. And I don't understand it. Something supernatural. It's alive. I was ministering to a gentleman years ago that had stage 4 bone cancer. And he was under heavy medication for pain. And he told me, he said, Billy, he says, I don't understand this. But he said, you know, I hurt all the time. And he said, I can pick up God's Word. And I can start to read it. And there's peace. And for a short amount of time, the pain just dissipates and goes away. What's up with that, church? Is it because God's Word is alive? It changes us. It has the capacity to make things different. Let's look at Psalm 19, 7 and 8 real quickly. I believe this was David. I'm sorry, I didn't see who the psalmist was. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Anybody need their soul revived this morning? The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I am pretty simple sometimes. I need wisdom. It gives us wisdom. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. I believe our countenance can be lifted if we read God's Word. Church, God's Word can be trusted. It is alive. And the third thing, in contrast to people saying that God's Word is outdated, the third point is that it is everlasting. It is everlasting. 1 Peter 1:24-25 says, all men are like grass, and all glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. I think somewhere etched in the spiritual realm, God's word is there. Some of us know a gentleman named Rick Mangum. Rick works for the Central Appraisal District. He used to live across the street, across Antley Road, for a number of years. And 20 years ago or so, when I was working for the fire service, there was a gasoline tank truck, an 18-wheeler, that turned over at Pine and Treadaway. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but there's, you know, it's a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit, and you come into a 20-mile-an-hour curve, and this truck was going too fast. And so it turned over, and it caught fire, and the gasoline spilled out of the tank. Well, it caught fire, and there's several buildings there. One of them was a cinder block building. A gentleman that I went to church with had a business there. And it survived. And then behind it was a metal building. And Rick worked in that metal building. Well, the gasoline seeped between the foundation and the bottom of that building. And it caught the inside of the building on fire. And the gasoline surrounded the vehicles that were parked out front and caught the vehicles on fire. And all those people could do was just get out of there as quick as they could. Well, a couple days later, the fire department released the property back to the owners, and Rick goes to see if there's anything salvageable. And I can't remember if he went to his vehicle first or his office first, but he went to his vehicle, and he's looking around, and everything's burned up that can burn except for the metal. I don't know if you have seen a car fire, but, you know, the tires are gone, the vinyl's gone, the seats are gone. Anything that's not metal is consumed by the fire, 1,800 degrees. And he's looking around, and he looks up on his dash, and he said, is that my Bible on the dash? And he reaches up and he grabs his Bible. And it's kind of singed on the edges. And this is documented in the Abilene Reporter News, if you want to go look. It's singed on the edges, but he opens it up and it's almost in pristine condition. You know? What's up with that? I'm not going to say God's going to preserve every printed Bible, but my goodness. He goes in his office and he's looking around and everything's just charred. Everything's black. I mean, there's nothing, and he's looking for something that he can maybe take home with him. And over in the corner, he sees a piece of paper, a white piece of paper. And if I remember right, it was part of a devotion that he read, and there was a scripture verse on it. And I wish I could remember what that scripture verse said that was preserved through that fire. Church, God, there's something about God's Word. And Scripture says that it will stand forever. And again, maybe not the printed text, maybe not the book, but somewhere in the spiritual realm, I believe His Word is etched forever. Church, I don't know what are your prized possessions. You know, I was thinking about what's important to me. Of course, I love my wife. Y'all tell her I said that. She's important. Got a new grandbaby. I don't want to boast. But, and then I thought, I'm never going to be one of those grandparents who just, you know, get crazy about their grandkids. But I'm turning into one. I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time. But she's important to me. But you know, all that's going to fade away. It's going to fade away. And really, my most prized possession should be what God has given us. Something that will never change, but it will change us. I want to hold this dear to my heart. And the challenge for me as I was preparing for this is, you know, as I said, I spend an hour and a half a day reading stuff that really doesn't amount to much of anything. It's not going to change me. It really, sometimes it just makes me, it does change me. It makes me mad. You know, I'm not in a good place when I read some things. But this is what could change me. If I'd spend an hour and a half of the day reading this, if I have an hour and a half to spare to read, why not do this instead of that? So I think God wants to challenge us, church. If we're in the Word, get in it more. You know, if you're not in the Word, just start somewhere. Start with the book of John and read a chapter a day. And when you're through with that, maybe start over. And you'll discover there's a freshness there. It's almost like it's new because it's alive. If you don't like to read, Or you struggle reading? Well, they've got the Bible on CD. We can listen to it. It is so available for us, church. And God has spoken to us through His Word. And it's imperative, again, it's imperative that we know in this day and time how God feels about things. And how He feels about us as well. Won't you pray with me? Praise team, come on. Father, I thank You, God, for Your Word. And I just think about the richness. And God, we don't worship this book. We worship You and You alone. Jesus, we worship You and You alone. Holy Spirit, we worship You and You alone. You know, we don't worship this book, but I'm thankful for all the richness that exists there. I thank You for all the precious promises that You've given us that we can discover if we will look there. And Father, I just pray this morning, I'm just going to ask God that You give us a passion for Your Word. We're passionate about a lot of things in this life. God, I just pray that You give us a passion for Your Word so we will know You more. Oh Lord, You want to speak to us. Pray that You speak to us this morning and speak to us as we move forward, Lord, through Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and let's worship. If you want to visit with Jeff or I, we'll be down front. If you want to pray about anything, we'll be down front as well.
Finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God's fear, would you pour down my grace, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God's fear. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God's speak, would you pour down my grace, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God's speak, would you pour down my grace, washing my eyes to see to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Church, do you want to hear from the Lord? Do you really want to hear from the Lord? I challenge you to get into the Word. If you don't have a Bible, Jeff's got some in his office. He's shaking his head yes. He's still got a collection in there. And if you don't know where to start, come see Jeff, come see myself. Maybe we can get you started in a certain direction. But I tell you what, I'm going to commit this week to spend more time in the Word. Can we? I don't want you to raise your hand and say you will, or not raise your hand and say you won't. Let's just try that, okay? And see what happens. Let's try it for 7 days and see what happens. I think God will speak to us. Be blessed today. Thank you, guys. You're a great church.
Word of God's feet, would you pour down my grace, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God's feet, would you pour down my, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Finding myself at a loss for words.